Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
If you guys have your Bibles, go with me to Joel chapter 2. Happy New Year. Is it going all right? Is 2021 all right? Yeah, off to a good start? All right. Joel chapter 2. Every year, I've for 15 years now, I've been praying into the new year, and every year with our church community, I have always fasted and prayed, and if it wasn't this week, it was the following week until I heard something from the Lord about the coming year, and I did that for this year. How many of you guys know, man, it's an intimidating year to prophesy into, right? It is not necessarily the easiest thing to get a prophetic word for 2021 and confidently come up and say, this is the word of the Lord. You know, we're coming out of a lot, and there's obviously so much going on that it'd be so easy to try to just kind of sort of start picking off subject matter and go, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, and just get this really convoluted prophetic word about this coming year because it's all low-hanging fruit, you know? And I've been really praying into this year and asking the Lord what He's going to do, and I feel like the Lord, honestly, if I've ever been as confident in a prophetic word for a year as I ever have, is this one. And so I'm very excited to share with what the Lord's been speaking to me about this coming year. Before we do that, let's just take a quick second to pray before we open the Word. Father, we thank You. Lord, for all that You've done. We thank You for Your faithfulness. And Lord, as we enter into a new year, I just pray, Lord, that You'd give us soft hearts. I pray, Lord, that You would give us soft hearts, that, Lord, that would be sensitive to revelation. I pray, Lord, that You'd give us ears that hear. I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, God, that as a church, we'd be standing in the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that You'd give us wisdom on how to position ourselves, that You would give us wisdom on how to respond, that You'd give us eyes that see, not the things that are going on around, but what's happening in the realm of Your Spirit. God, that You would show us Your ways, You'd show us Your heart, and that You would give us listening ears to the Lord's voice this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As I prayed, I'm going to just start off in just saying exactly what I heard the Lord, because it's very simple. But within what I'm about to share, there's an anatomy that I want to teach on. There's an anatomy to this prophetic word. And what I heard the Lord say is, I prayed into this year, and I asked the Lord, Lord, what are You doing and what are You saying about 2021? I heard the Lord say that the year 2021 is the year of the prevailing church. And I began to ask the Lord, Lord, what does that mean? And because he didn't say the year of the surviving church, the year of the victorious church, the year of the overcoming church, because I continued to ask Him, is it victory, is it overcoming? What are You saying? And I kept hearing the Lord say, the year of the prevailing church. And I'll apologize now, because there's some things that I'm about to say that you've heard me, that I've been saying for weeks. But with that said, there's a reason why I've continued to repeat myself, and it's because the Lord has been saying something concerning this to me for weeks now, but He made it very clear to me about this year as the year of the prevailing church. And the Lord began to speak to me out of Joel chapter 2, and I want to talk about the ingredients of a prevailing church. Because the ingredients of a prevailing church is a conflict, a response, and a victory. The prevailing church is not just a church that wins a battle. The prevailing church is not just a church that overcomes his enemy. The prevailing church is a church that advances the kingdom purpose on the earth. And I think there's some measure of this past year where it'd be easy, I think you don't even have to be a Christian, to go, man, something was going on. There was such an enemy to this year. There's so much warfare over this year. There was such, you know, a dark energy about 2020. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to be a Christian to just acknowledge, man, something dark was going on. And as a people, that we are not just a victorious church, we're not just a surviving church, but we're a prevailing church. And this year will be known as the year of the prevailing church. And that means that there's a conflict, there's a response, and there's a victory. And I want you to look at Joel chapter 2, because in Joel chapter 2, we see the anatomy of a prevailing church. And In Joel chapter 2, verse 1, verses 1 through 11 is concerning the conflict. And it begins, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Basically saying this is that there's an enemy coming to Mount Zion. And so watchmen, lift up your voice, sound an alarm, make everybody know that there is an enemy that's about to come to Mount Zion. That they're about to overtake us. So sound an alarm on Mount Zion. That wasn't lift the voice of praise. No, that was like emergency, emergency. That's what that means. But then he says this, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Now, time out. We are talking about an emergency where an enemy is going to overtake Mount Zion, but then he goes, for the day of the Lord is at hand. How do we consider a coming conflict or warfare as the day of the Lord? Well, I think that this is an ancient truth, an ancient reality about the kingdom of heaven and about God's people that Americans are very distant from. We're a convenient people. Things have gone our way in a very wonderful way for the past, you know, modern history. And because of that, we don't have the ability to understand God in the midst of warfare. That there can be an enemy, but there can be a prevailing and a principle that God is moving in the midst of warfare. The conflict in Joel chapter 2 is that there is an enemy coming, and it was the day of the Lord because the Lord was inviting conflict for the purpose of revealing the nation's condition. If you consider the story of Job, right? Job is one of God's most righteous men in all of Israel. And as Job, there's a group of godly men that are coming before the Lord, and Satan comes in the midst of them and goes, God, I want to shake one of your godly men. Imagine the favor of the Lord that must have been on Job's life for the Lord to introduce Job to Satan. And he goes, Satan, I want you to meet Job. Job meets Satan. And Satan, you're allowed to shake everything that he puts his hands to because he's a godly man. Are you guys all right?
Yeah.
All right. Pulse check. And he introduces Job to Satan, and he actually says, he goes, I am going to allow you, Satan, you're allowed to shake everything in Job's life, but you're not allowed to touch his person. That word literally means the internal reality, the internal person, the heart and the nature of Job. You can touch everything his hand touches, but you cannot touch himself. And what that means is that God laid parameters on him, and he goes, I'm allowing you to shake the external world around this man because I know that the condition of his heart is secure, that he can actually allow it to become the conflict, to become a seedbed of revelation. And Job, we know the whole story of Job is not a story of like absolute truth. People quote portions of Job as if it's like truth. But the reality was a man among friends hashing out the concerns that his shaking life was causing in his heart. And he's wrestling over this stuff, and it comes to the end where Job says, man, God, I thought I knew you, but now I see you. And what God did was he invited an enemy into a life with boundaries, saying, I'm allowing you to shake the external condition of this man's life so that we can reveal the condition of his heart. And he is a righteous man, and he will actually grow into the place of visitation because of the shaking. The purpose of what I'm saying is warfare was permissible because it was a seedbed of revelation concerning his identity. And what we have to understand about like 2020 is chapters 1 through 11, where sound the alarm in Zion, for the day of the Lord is at hand. I'm inviting an enemy to shake everything that can be shaken for the purpose of vision and clarity over the human condition. And in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, and the voice of the Lord shook the earth. And he has promised. Now listen to that. The voice of the Lord shook the earth. Not the enemy, but the voice of the Lord. Whatever he had to say, his purpose and his plan, which was to create his work in the earth, shook the earth. But now he's promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but I will also shake heaven. And this yet once more indicates the removal of things that are being shaken as of things that are made. The things which cannot be shaken will remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. God's word is a two-edged sword that divides between soul and spirit. God's word shakes everything that can be shaken. 2020, there was an enemy, but even the enemy's attempts on the earth was the voice of the Lord shaking what could be shaken, and we can declare 2020 was the day of the Lord. Now, this is very important because in this, you know, and I've said this repeatedly throughout this year, that if you silence out the noise and you tune into heaven, this year was probably one of the clearest moments in history to hear the voice of the Lord. Because his voice was shaking the earth for the purpose of exposing the human condition. There's a lot of prophetic words going to 2020 that was saying, 2020 vision, clarity. This is a year of 2020 vision. And in January of 2020, we're like, oh man, yeah. A year where my purpose and plans of the Lord in my life are going to be so clear, and I'm going to step into what he's called me to, and man, it's going to be 2020 coming into a new decade. It's going to be a decade of fruitfulness, and we had all these words about 2020 vision and clarity going into this new year, and then every prophet that prophesied that was blindsided by the events of the year, and now we're all going, well, hindsight is 2020, right? Hindsight is 2020. That we're looking back on the prophetic words and we heard them through the lens of our American experience and our convenience of where we're at. But the reality is every one of those words was entirely accurate because we stand at the end of 2020 with greater clarity and understanding of our heart than before we went into it. 2020 was a year of 2020 vision, a year of clarity over the human heart and the condition where the things that were inside of me were shaken so that what was not of the kingdom, what was not of him, would come to the surface and be made visible. You know, I heard it said recently, you know, about this pastor. I heard on a podcast this pastor was talking about in 2020, and he said, man, people are saying 2020 really messed up my marriage. And he goes, and my response is, no, your marriage was messed up. 2020 showed it. Right? Man, 2020, man, I mean, like, I dealt with a lot of fear. Man, you've always had fear. 2020 shook it loose. Man, 2020, I dealt with so much anger, resentment, and bitterness towards people that I don't agree with. Man, that bitterness and resentment has always been a root in your life. 2020 shook it loose. 2020 was a year of clarity. But here's the thing that happens, right? So the Lord says, he blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm, let all the inhabitants of the land, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Verse 11, he says, for the Lord gives a voice before his army, for his camp is great, for strong is the one who executes his word, for the day of the Lord is great and is very terrible, who can endure it? The reality is the word of the Lord has been shaking the earth, and if you turn that tune out the noise and tune into heaven, man, he has a lot to say to you right now. But then it says this, verse 12, this is the second part of a prevailing church. Number one, a prevailing church is a church with a conflict, but then secondly is a church with a response. He goes, now therefore, which declares, now we're shifting out of the conflict and we're coming into the response and what I'm going to say to you. And the Lord says, turn to me with all your heart. With fasting, weeping, and mourning, rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, great in kindness, and he relents from doing harm. And the Lord says, I've shaken everything. My word is working, is doing something in your heart and your life. Now rend your heart and not your garments. I'm not asking you to lay down all these things. Don't lay down your business. Lay down your finances. Lay down all of your, you know, the things in your life and lay down, you know, school. And I'm not asking just to rend your garments. I'm asking you to rend your heart. This year was never about business and things and resources, and it was never about, it was always about, I'm shaking loose the condition of your heart. I'm making things visible to you. Now rend your heart before me, says the Lord. Call a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Let the bride leave her chambers and the groom leave his chambers and come before the Lord and fast and weep. He's saying, stop what you're doing. Come out of all the routines and all the stuff going on, and I want you to respond to what I have shown you this year about your heart. Don't let what got shaken loose this year become a part of who you are in your nature moving forward. I brought it to the surface for you to respond to it. It reminds you of the story of Joshua. Joshua led a prevailing nation. And Joshua had all three things. He had a conflict, he had a response, and he had a victorious stand. And what it looked like was Joshua was called out of the desert into the promised land and to go to Jericho and to march around it seven times and to shout to the Lord, and the walls came down and they conquered Jericho. And the Lord says, when you go into Jericho, don't touch any of the accursed things. Take no treasure from Jericho. Let your hands be clean of all the Babylonian accursed things in Jericho. Right? So the Lord says that to him, and they go in and they leave, and he goes to Ai, and the Lord says, I've given you every place your foot goes. I am with you, and you will have victory everywhere you go. And they go into Ai, and they take like 30,000 soldiers into Ai, and when they go into Ai, they actually fall at the hand of Ai, and Joshua comes back and says, I thought you said we would have victory wherever we go. This conflict doesn't feel like victory. And he cries out and he goes, take me back to the desert. So a lot of people that have gone through 2020 are saying, take me back to 2019. What they don't acknowledge is that the purpose for 2020 was to shake everything that could be shaken for the purpose of revealing the condition so that they can move on into what God has promised. And what God reveals in that moment is, he goes, Joshua, he literally says this to Joshua, he goes, Joshua, get off your face, shake off your dust. There's sin in your camp, go deal with it. And he says that to Joshua, and they call all the tribes of Israel out, and they go, God's revealed to us that someone has touched the accursed things. And Achan comes out, and his whole family comes out, and he goes, I did it, I saw the gold, I touched the gold. He had this selfish ambition thing in him that got shaken loose by the loss. And it got revealed that this thing was in his heart. And they go into the tent, they find the stuff, they deal with it. They deal with the sin that got exposed through the defeat. And then the Lord speaks to Joshua and he goes, now Joshua, go back to Ai. And this time, not only are you going to go into Ai and you're going to win, but I want you to take all the treasure. Do you understand what's happening in this moment is that the response led to a church that prevails, because a church that prevails is not just a church that wins a battle or overcomes an enemy. It is a church that takes bounty and treasure. That actually, you know, when it says you are more than an overcomer only wins battles. More than an overcomer takes treasure. You're an overcomer if you get healed from a sickness. You're more than an overcomer if your testimony leads to countless souls coming into the kingdom. Right? You're an overcomer if you fix your marriage. You're more than an overcomer if your marriage sets forth generations of lovers of Jesus and children that will set captives free. Do you understand that the response positioned Joshua to be able to become a prevailing nation and a prevailing kingdom? Because they took the moment to deal what was in the house and to conquer it before the feet of Jesus. And it is rending, it is self-awareness and repentance to shore up every breach and to yield what was shaken to the Lord and to rend it before him. I want to encourage you, and I feel like from in this word that I have about becoming the prevailing church, we're in this like three-stage like season where there is a conflict. We're coming out of the conflict. I really believe that 2021, the beginning of 2021, is a now therefore call a fast, like call a sacred assembly and rend your hearts and not your garments. I really believe that's where we're at right now. But there, so what I want to encourage you is I really believe the Lord wants to invite you into a dedicated moment where we actually acknowledge the things that shook loose in our life. Like we really write it down before the Lord and go, Lord, I really felt like you really exposed bitterness and anger and frustration and like fear that I don't trust you, that you were going to take care of my family. Like sometimes we gloss over some of the moments that, have you guys had a bad moment in 2020? Anybody just like kick a door in? Like you watch the news and you just like got angry. Anybody just like have like a moment where you just truly considered like bad things about the future and didn't trust the Lord? Did anybody just have a bad moment? It's easy for us to like gloss that over and not actually to bring that before the Lord and like rend our heart and go, whoa. Like we kind of just appease all those things. But when they come up to actually go like time out, I'm not moving on. I'm going to look at this thing in the face. Like some of the relationships are just threw in the trash bin because we disagreed on something. Like it's not the heart of the Lord. There's just things that came up inside of me. And I'm actually going to rend that before the Lord and go, Lord, deal with that in me right now. Because I'm not carrying that into AI. I'm not carrying that into 2021. I don't want anything that's going to actually hinder your conditional favor in my life. And then the purpose of it is so that not only will God shake your fear loose, but then you'll grow in greater levels of faith. Look at Joel chapter 2:18. This is where we want to end. And this is the victory aspect of the prevailing church. In Joel chapter 2:18, it says, and then, after the response to the conflict, and then the Lord will be zealous for his land. Do you understand that like your response will actually shift God's attention from hesitation to a place of favor? Now, I know we have the endless eternal favor of Jesus upon our life before the Father in eternity, like because of the blood of Jesus, but understand this, is that there's something conditional about positioning your life so that the favor of the Lord will become manifest and visible in the world around you. That you can actually respond in a way where the Lord will then turn and become zealous for his land. Not only do you make it through, you overcome, but now God is zealous for your family. Now God is zealous for your city. God's zealous for Maine. God is zealous for the nations of the earth. And God is now responding in favor because there's a church that responded and made herself ready. In Revelation 19:7, it says, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. There's something about this response that then positions us as a bride who is ready for a zealous God to come with jealousy in his heart to make himself known to the nations of the earth. That we would become a prevailing church, because not just because we survived, but because of the conflict and our response, we became more like him, and the church began to get granted access to greater realms of glory, where there's a greater fragrance of heaven that began to rest upon their life, that they began to walk in an immovable faith and knowledge of God that actually changed the world, not just caused conflict with the world, but actually began to transform the world. That the hearts that have been shaken in this season are ripe unto harvest. And there's a bride who's made herself ready. And there's a God who is zealous. And then there is a wedding feast that's coming where the Lord Jesus himself is about to make himself known like never before. And it is conditional on a church that responds well to a conflict and positions herself to see his hand move. A prevailing church is not just a victorious church is an abundant church that takes land. A victorious church is a church that walks and is who she's always been called to be. A church that's been purged of religion, a church that's purged of the world, a church that's purged of selfish gain, a church purged of the fear of man, a church purged of vain routines, who walks in the authority of heaven, that walks in the tangible realms of his glory, that carry a fragrance of heaven on their life, and they fuse it wherever they go. Man, this has been a year where God is clearly separating that which is holy from that which is profane. That which is light from that which is dark. And we're coming into a year where we stand in favor before the Lord because we are a church that knows the separation of light and dark, holy, profane, right, wrong, and that we stand before his favor in it. Does this make sense? I believe that we are coming into an amazing year. I believe God is going to move profoundly this year. But I really believe that we are actually in a moment of response right now like never before. And that God is calling us to truly sit down and to not bypass this incredibly important moment where we go, God, I will, in your loving kindness, you have brought me to a place to acknowledge everything that shook loose in me this year. And Lord, man, I remember when I went through a cancer scare, and it was like literally the week before my daughter Maggie was born, so it was about 4 years ago. Many of you guys don't know the story. I had my appendix like almost burst, and I went into the doctor, and they removed it before it burst, and I had believe it or not, I had a really hard time recovering from it. And I had high fevers, and it was pretty bad. And then my daughter was born, and I was like hobbling around with these like multiple incisions, and about a week after she was born, I went in for like them to take the staples out and everything, and when I went in, they sat me down and they said, hey, the reason why you had appendicitis is because you had cancer on your appendix, and to just have a baby born. You know, and then to go through that, I was in a really comfortable and exciting place in my life, and the church was growing and having babies and, you know, just establishing my family and just so much joy. And to go through a shaking, it felt like such an injustice. It felt like warfare. But I began to position my heart and my life because daily what I had to face was fear. And in the presence of fear means that there's a void in my trust. And I didn't trust the Lord. And I began to like petition him as if he wasn't aware of the promises he made over my life. You know, and I had to begin to take inventory of my heart that there was a root of fear that never would have been exposed if I didn't go through what I was currently going through. It shook something loose in me because God wants to prepare me for what I'm becoming. It says that you're not a child of God if you don't go through discipline. And the reason why you go through discipline is so that the Lord can deal with everything inside of you so that you can become a partaker of his holiness. And God has been doing that. You know, we had received a prophetic word from Will Hart, and he prophesied, you guys are going to have a church in Vermont. Sure enough, we're planting a church in Vermont. He said, I see the Lord giving you buildings and land. Sure enough, we're given Dresden. He gives all these words, and he gave one other word about 2019. And he said, in this coming year, he says, it's going to be the year of the audit. And I always read that, and I go, what does that mean? And like, we prepared like our bookkeepers and everything, like, we're going to get audited, get ready. You know, but that wasn't what it was. He goes, God is inviting you in to a season this year where the Lord is going to evaluate. The Lord is going to, God is going to begin to shake things and expose things so that you can close the door. Wherever there's loss, wherever there is a lack of stewardship in your life, God's going to expose it so that you can deal with it in preparation for what's coming. 2020 was a year of a personal audit. And the Lord is inviting us in to partnering with him so that we can position ourselves as a prevailing church. This makes sense. One of the most quietest services I've ever preached through. I hope it's because it's such deep processing. And why don't you guys stand with me?